I've got the book of Esther on my heart. It's been a while since I had my back surgery, I guess, in 13 since I've preached on that book. And I really felt like, and I'll probably get over and hit on some of that, but I really feel like just a while ago, for some reason, the Lord said you need to read from Acts chapter 5. So that's all I know to do. In the 28th verse, we'll try not to be very long. I know people sitting out in the parking lot have been sitting there a while. I know it's not as hot out there today, so y'all bear with us just a little while. Saying, did not we straightly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Indeed, intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Amen. The God of our father raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be the prince and savior, for to give repentance to Israel for forgiveness of sins. Amen. And we are a witness of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. And when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council of the Pharisees named Gamaliel, and a doctor of the law and the reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And he said unto them, ye men of Israel, I take heed to yourself what ye indeed to do as in touching these men. For before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom the number of men about 400 joined themselves, and who was slain, and all the many obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose one Judas of Galilee in the names of in the days of taxing, and drew away much people after him. And he also perished, and all, even as many obeyed him, were depressed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel of this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed, and they had called the apostles and beaten them, and they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. Now I will look at this verse here in 39. It said, but if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, least happily ye be found even to fight against God. And Peter and them said, are we are to obey men or to obey God? And then we got over here to where Gamaliel stood up and talked about this, and he told them, he said, happily ye be that you fight against God. And I want to look at that a little while. I want you to realize that there seems to be people today that are happy to fight against God. And I do not understand why somebody would be happily to be found fighting against God. But we seem today to have people just in that manner. But now I want to go here in the book of Esther now and look a little bit at this. We know that Esther, the book of Esther, this is a book you'll not find the word the Lord thy God mentioned through the whole book. But you'll find him from the beginning of the book until the end of it. He's all through it in pictures and types and shadows. But the king had called the queen. They was partying it up, having a party. And he'd done got big and drunk, and he called for the queen, going to show her off to all the men at the party, and she would not come, and I don't blame her for not coming. But the king then consulted out counsel what he should do. And the men of the wise men told the king that not only did she defile him or dishonor him, but all the people and all the women would be that way now. So he had to find him another queen. So he brought the virgins before him. And there was one named Esther, who was a Jew. And she was the first cousin of one named, of a Jew named Mordecai. The Bible says Mordecai, she was his uncle's daughter, which would make her his first cousin. But listen, she was brought before the king, and the king had chose her and found her to make favor for the king. I want you to realize the Bible talked about there was two men. I want to try to get it all in there a little bit at the time we might have here, but there was two men that had went up against the king and spoke evil against the king. That was going to bring harm to the king. And Mordecai had said, he sat at the gate there, and I want you to know he had heard of this, and he'd found out how these men was going to bring harm against the king. He let the word be known, and then it got back to the king. And the king had those two men hung and put to death. And then it come to a time, he set a man named, I believe his name was Haman. He set him up to be under the king. And he gave him authority. And he gave this man, gave him his ring. And we're going to read to you in a minute about that ring. But listen, he gave this man his ring to be able to seal in his name. And this man here, he come to the king, and he give him such authority that men had to make reverence unto him, even bow to him. Sort of like it was with Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. When they heard the music, they was bowed down to the golden image. So everybody began to bow and show reverence unto this man named Haman. Listen, but Mordecai would not do it, and that made him mad. He didn't show him the respect he thought he ought to get from him. So he began to look out vengeance for this man. He come to the king, and you might say he misused his authority. He come to the king, and he told the king that there was certain people that was not keeping the law and doing this. And I want you to realize he was ready to throw every Jew under the bus just to get to this one man. He was ready to destroy all of God's people just to get his vengeance on one man. He come to the king. He said, there's a people that just won't obey the law, and they're just being rebels, so to speak. And he asked the king, he said, well, if we had 10,000 talents of silver, we could destroy these people. And the king gave him permission to go ahead with it and give him his ring to send the letters out that they might be sealed. Mordecai got word of what Haman was up to, and he sent word to Esther, the one the king had chose to be queen, the one he'd raised as a daughter. It's what the Bible says. He took her and raised her as a daughter. It was his cousin. And Esther said, if I go before the king, and if he's not called me, and he's not called me in 30 days, he's not called me to come to stand before him in 30 days. If I go before him and he don't take the scepter and stick it out, then I'll be killed. Man or woman, it don't make no difference who it is. And Mordecai sent back word to her. He said, in such a time of these that we're in right now is why you've been put in this position, is what he was saying. Amen. So Esther got willing to go before the king. She went before the king and pleaded for her people. In the meantime, Haman, he decided, he talked to his friends and his family, and he decided what he was going to do. And he built a gallows 50 foot high. And he was going to hang Mordecai from that gallows, and he was going to get his vengeance. So he builds the gallows. And during all this, what was happening, Esther goes before the king and she pleads to the king. And the king was having a hard time sleeping, so he called the scribes and wanted them to bring the books of the Chronicles. And they read the books of the Chronicles, and that is just history, things that's happened. And they began to read about Mordecai, about how when those two men was out to kill the king, and Mordecai had sent a warning, and he wanted to know what has been done for this man, Lord Mordecai, what was done in his favor, what he done for the king. And they said, there was nothing done. And in that time, he said, who's that stands outside the court, in the outer court? And they said, well, it's Haman. And Haman had come to ask to be able to hang Mordecai in the gallows. He said, well, just send him forward. And they sent Haman up there, and here come Haman, feeling all good about himself. He's got the king in his pocket. He's going to get his way. He walks up there, and the king asked him what his desire was. And he told him, he said, the way the king put it, he said, there's one that's had great favor to the king. He said, what do you think one that's had great favor ought to be done with him? And Haman thought, he's talking about me. He's done give me all the authority. He's done give me the ring. I'm in great favor with him. He said, well, I think you ought to have all your apparel, even the royal king, the horse, the whole nine yards. Just give him every bit of that and ride him right through the city and show him off. He said, you do that. He said, you even send the best prince, the highest prince, you got to do it. And you know what the king said? He said, you go and do that to Malachi. So here he come to ask to go hang this man. And the king has said, you go ride him around in my pearl with a crown on my horse. Amen. You take him and do it. Then he went and had to put him on the king's horse, put him in his pearl and the king the crown on his head. And he had to take and ride him through the city and show him off. And then he was just so destroyed of this. He was wanting to hang him. He was wanting his vengeance. He goes back to his home and he tells his wife and his family what had happened. He's destroyed. Remember what a thought is. Happily you be fighting against God. In the end of the seventh chapter it says, and Haman told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends everything that had befallen him. Then said he, the wise man, and Zeresh, his wife, unto him, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but thou shalt surely fall before him. And while they were yet taken with him, came the king's chamberlain and hasted to bring Haman unto the banquet of Esther. And had prepared. And you'll go on over here and the king asked Esther what favor she'd have in the seventh chapter. And Esther said, the adversary, the enemy of this wicked Haman, the Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. And I want you to realize the gallows that you'll read on the rest of that seventh chapter, and you'll find that the gallows that this man had built to hang Mordecai, who he found to be an enemy, he ended up hung on him himself. And I want you to know also his 10 sons also died on those same gallows. Now I want you to understand something today. What I want to get to is in this 8th chapter, and I'm not going to read it all because I've done read a bunch, but I want you to understand and get a hold of this today. You cannot fight against God. I want you to realize today, when God puts his seal on something, if it is of the king, truly of the king, that this man took advantage of I am going to read it. In the 8th chapter, it said, on the day of the king, Hazael Rice gave the house of Haman, the Jews' enemy, unto Esther the queen. And Mordecai come before the king, for Esther had told what he was to her. In other words, she told him he'd raised her. And she told him that he was her first cousin. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and he gave it to Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. And Esther spake, and yet again before the king, fell down at his feet and besought him with tears, and put away the mischief of Haman, the Agagite, and his devices that he had devised against the Jews. Then the king held out his golden scepter toward Esther, and so Esther arose and stood before the king and said, if it please the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and the thing seem right before the king, I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written in the reverse, the letters devised by Haman, the son of the Agagite, which I wrote to destroy the Jews, which are all of the king's providence. For how can I endure to see the evil that shall come to my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? Then the king, Cyrus said unto Esther the queen and Mordecai the Jew, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows, because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Write ye also for the Jews as liketh you in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring, and the writing which is written in the king's name, sealed with his king's ring, may no man reverse. I want you to get a grip on that today. Over here in Ephesians it says, and whom you have trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel, your salvation, and whom ye also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. I want you to know, when the king's ring sealed it, no man could reverse it. Now what I want to understand today, every one of us believe, and I believe it in my heart, that you all believe, and all the people in our ranks believe, if you've been saved by God's grace, it can't be took away from you. It's sealed to the day of redemption. I believe every one of us believe when somebody's got saved by God's grace, and he's put his seal on it, and they give a testimony, every one of us has got to believe what they're telling us. Amen. It ain't for us to judge whether they are saved or not. We're just to vote on whether they've got a testimony or not that relates to ours. It ain't none of us is to be the judge of that. Now here I'm going to ask you a question. If we all believe that, when God puts his seal on something, if God leads a man or woman to go somewhere and do something, who are we to argue with God? If he's put his seal on it, what man can fight against God? The Bible said, if it's be of God, if it's not of God, it'll come to naught. It'll die out. Yeah. But if it is of God, what are you doing trying to fight against God? Haman thought he could fight against God's people. He got mad at one, and he was going to kill them all. If we ain't careful today, we'll get upset with anybody and try to stir away all of God's cause because we got upset with one person. We'll try to put that everybody in the same place that one is. They call it guilt by association. Mordecai probably should have showed him reverence. By the law, The king could give a law? Maybe he should have. Then maybe you'd have to say, maybe Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego should have. I don't think they should have. He got upset with Mordecai. He was going to kill all God's people because of it. And God said no. He took a little woman named Esther. Just a little woman. According to the scriptures, a virgin. The king found favor in her and he used that little woman in that time to stand up for God's people and God's cause. And he overthrew that evil man. Just because you got authority don't mean you need to use it any way you want to. I believe in church authority.
Amen.
I do. I believe it has authority over its members. But I also believe that God has authority over the church.
Amen.
He said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. I don't ever remember saying all power in heaven and earth is given unto you.
That's right.
It wasn't all given unto him. I want to tell you, it wasn't all given unto Mordecai. He just gave them authority by letting them use the ring. You can use that for good and you can use it for evil. We saw where one tried to use it for evil. And then we saw for one that used it for good. Fought for God's people. You say, why are you preaching on this before revival? Because we got people here that's in situations. And I love them.
Amen.
And I want you to know, it's better to obey God than it is man.
Amen.
They claim this is dead center of the Bible. I've never been able to figure it up. The 118th division of Psalms, in the 8th verse, they claim if you go from the back forward and forward towards the back, this verse here falls dead center in the scriptures. And I don't think there's no coincidence that it's there. Here's what it says. It's better to trust in the Lord than put your confidence in man. I don't know if this will be something you'll be able to put on the website or not. But I'll tell you this, I don't think it would hurt some of us to hear about it.
Amen.
I hear a lot of people say the church can't make mistakes. It has all authority and it can't make a mistake. And I asked one of them one time, I said, you believe that? And they said, yeah. I said, well, grant us a letter then. We couldn't make a mistake. Why ain't you giving us one? And they said, well, that's different. Apparently we can make mistakes, but they can't. We all make mistakes. If you don't think Hilltop Church made any mistakes, you're wrong.
That's right.
You don't think Hilltop Church has got errors in it. You got me for a pastor, and I ain't no count. It ain't none of us no count. I don't want nobody to bow down to me. We got one to bow to.
Amen.
And that's our King. I love all of our churches, but we're going to have to get out of this stuff. Big I's and little U's. Brother Larry talked on it this morning. It won't work. I can't imagine how that man felt when he come to the king. He walked up there And he was coming to get permission to hang this man in the gallows he built. And he said, what would you do to the man that the king had the light of in? And he told him all these things and how he would treat him. All these good things, because he thought he was talking about him. Then he was talking about the other fella. I'm telling you, there's going to be a lot of us disappointed when it comes time to think who's going to make the bride. There's a lot of us that's going around thinking we know we the one he's took the light in. It's that other fella that we've run down and kicked at, tried to destroy in every way we could. Be careful how you treat God's people.
Amen.
He'll come looking for you.
Yep.
You can't fight against God. I thought I could for 8 years. I thought I could run from my call to preach. I thought I could do it. Brother Marty, I went over there after about three or five years, I don't know. I went over there and I said, Bud, I believe I've been called to preach. I knew I had been, but I thought if I said I believed, it would help me some. And he said, if you've been called, it'll show up. Brother Don Curtis will tell you that just walk away from it. You know what I found, Brother Don? I thought, well, that's the craziest advice I've ever heard. How can you walk away from it? You can't walk away from it. You've been called. I couldn't get away from it. I tried to fight against God. It won't work. If God has sealed it, what man can reverse it? If God's put you here, it's better to obey God than it is
Amen.
A man. Don't be afraid of what some man might say. Fear God. I love you. And I love all of our churches. But it scares me to death how far we've took this authority thing. That's my message.
Amen.
Pray for me that I'll be a better pastor. I'd love y'all more like I ought to. I'd love our brothers and sisters more like I ought to. I'm not looking down on none of them. I love them. I want us to have fellowship. I wish they'd just stop looking down on us. I love this church.
Amen.
When I hear somebody run her down, it cuts me to my soul. That's my message.